Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Broadcast live from Murray Mound is VGC, the video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, Chris Scullion and Pete Donaldson. This week is Mario time again. I'll be getting a sunburnt head in June and a former PlayStation boss has some big words about exclusives. But first, how we doing, folks? Chris, you survived France. Sacré bleu.
Just about. Sacred blue indeed. Listen, just before we start, there's some tension in this podcast today because, other than the rant that I might go on later, today is allegedly the last day of my kitchen being done, which is why I haven't been on the podcast for weeks and weeks. And so there may
not
be
the ongoing legal case.
There may be that. Well, that too. I mean, like that, I strenuously deny everything. But there might be a point halfway through this where the doorbell rings and I need to slink off to let the electrician in. But other than that.
Pretend about Ohm's law.
Exactly. I'm like, you sure you want to put a fuse in, mate? other than that, I've had a wee trip to Paris, but I'm sure that'll come up later.
Definitely.
I'll just warn people in advance, if you've got kids, they may be swearing.
not on this podcast, surely. No. We just need to make it through 5 minutes for YouTube.
Chrissy Raducanu at it again. Toxic good game. Doesn't play it.
Certainly not.
Chris, this will appeal to you, a man of your years. I was watching Lemmy watch a Little and Large Christmas special from back in the day. And the hot bit of satire was, speaking of tennis, John McEnroe, okay? He's doing a John McEnroe impression. It's terrible. It's really bad stuff. And Sid Little is the umpire in the... Eddie Large is shouting at Sid Little, and Sid Little, the umpire, goes, "You wouldn't like me when I'm angry." He becomes the Hulk, full on special effects makeup, and this was very good. Picks up essentially a duvet in the vague shape of Eddie Large and throws it out. Raucous. 15 million on a Saturday night. Everyone in the UK absolutely glued to it.
A seamless cut.
Didn't Richard Herring and Stuart Lee try to write a sketch for Little and Large, and they got turned down, and it involved, I think, one of them going to snorkel out to sea, and for some reason the other one was eating a hot dog, and the hot dog squirted out of the bun and landed down the hall of his scuba gear, the snorkeling gear, and they said they didn't want it, and that's what they came out with, and they didn't have they didn't want the sausage down the snorkel pipe joke.
Speaking of old comedy, like the kid's into Mr. Bean now because she loves that physical slapstick from the 90s, don't we all? And I was watching, there's one episode where I didn't realize Mike from The Young Ones is in it, where like Mr. Bean goes to like a school for some school open day. And he learns karate, and when he goes to get changed again, he realizes his pants are gone. And it turns out Mike from The Young Ones, who is also getting karate lessons, is wearing his pants by mistake. So there's no better way to put this, but Mr. Bean basically assaults him in a toilet cubicle and removes his pants in a scene that probably wouldn't air today.
No.
But yeah, fun times.
This is what people used to watch. This is what I used to watch on television.
That's what sculpted me into the man I am today.
Yeah.
Can't go past the cubicle without tugging at my boxers to make sure they're mine.
I feel like if I went back in time to the 70s or 80s, I would go straight down to Television Centre and make an absolute mint just pitching the crappiest Saturday night telly ever. Because that's all it had to be. Flash forward to the late 90s. Do you remember there was a Saturday night format with Bruce Forsyth all about texting? Like, it was when texting first came out.
Was there some sort of contest to text the quickest?
Yes, there was. A sentence came up and you had to text it the quickest. Oh,
my goodness. That's amazing.
Proud to announce that Stack is moving into the world of Saturday Night Light Entertainment. Some shiny floor stuff. We're going to be filming it all. I'd love to be on that racket. Gladiators, come on. Yeah. Pete, how are you?
I'm good. I'm disappointed about Bradley Walsh's shark-eyed son being such a massive feature Jaws Walsh. Of that TV show. To I would say that the...
John Penta Walsh.
I would say that the level of kind of physical magnificence in the Gladiators has gone through the roof. I mean, there are some astonishing physiques, astonishing gigantic men. There's one gladiator I'm obsessed with who is bigger than most, but not the biggest. And he looks like an accountant facially, but the rest of him looks like a monster. And the main guy, the big muscle man, who's I think he's called the Giant or something like that. He has to go into wrestling. He's absolutely he's 6'7".
He seems like a nice guy as well.
Yeah, they try to expose him as like a steroid user because in the past he'd basically said, I'm a competitive bodybuilder and of course I'm juicing. Look at the state of me, for fuck's sake. And then he said, and they try to sort of cancel him for doing that. And it's like, mate, look at him and look at everyone else. They're all on it.
Just like one of his legs is wider than Brock Lesnar.
It's so huge. And if he doesn't make the move into some kind of professional wrestling role, I mean, there's just no justice in the world. I'm no talent spotter, but look at him.
I do miss, like, I used to watch American Gladiators back in the day. It used to be on at like 1 a.m. My dad would tape it for me, like, to watch it. And American Gladiators was a lot more aggressive. And like when you beat someone, a gladiator go, I go. Pushed into them. Whereas even the old British Gladiators and the new British Gladiators, they kind of go, oh, you nearly beat me there, mate. Come on.
That's why I cannot handle certain English wrestlers with kind of like, build a jaw like this. I'm going to come and get you. I mean, I just can't.
Getting angry now.
Proper big daddy giant haystack stuff.
Yeah.
Like guys who can't fit through doors. Be like, I'm going to beat you up. I'm gonna win from the city of Rotherham.
It's going to hurt.
The Gladiators, to me, is like the opposite of what happened after the steroid trial, where like Hogan came back for WrestleMania 9 and he was the shell of a man. Like, he was completely deflated. Like, it's as if you took like 1985 Hogan and doubled him, some of these guys. It's impressive stuff. And all those, you think about those wrestlers in the 80s, they were just throwing back 30 beers a night and they were still looking like that. Like, Jesus Christ. Oh, to be on some of those buses. Anyway, this isn't just a 90s.
Stink of farts. It would just stink of farts. They're all drinking beer and they're having protein shakes.
Can you imagine? I mean, there's a lot of scatological ongoings in the WWE. Google Randy Orton. Yeah. I mean, he's grown up now.
Probably why he got into it.
Yeah. He's a third generation scatological superstar. Anyway.
Just in case people listen, we do talk about games eventually. So don't worry.
Asked Pete what game we wanted on his perfect console, and he was talking about some game where you fart and shit and sweat and stuff like that. So it's very much on brand.
It was the Ed Edmondson vehicle, How to Make a Blue Bastard.
Yeah, of course. Sorry, I forgot who I was speaking to.
Sorry, Jordan.
Story number one. We're all talking about exclusives, and if they're still important to PlayStation, former PlayStation boss Sean Layden went on the What's Up PlayStation podcast and said, quote, exclusivity will always be important. It helps focuses and highlights the feature of your platform. What can you do here technically that you can't do somewhere else? But as your platform becomes established and the market recognizes where you sit in the pantheon of gaming options, I think the necessity of exclusives becomes a little bit less. Chris, how does this strike you from a man who oversaw PlayStation's Reich as the home of exclusive games?
I think there's room for exclusivity, but to a degree. I mean, I understand if you've got your own kind of studios and your own studios are making games for you, then okay, fine. But for me, where I get kind of wound up about it is the third party exclusives. I think that's a step too far, where a third party company should be making games for everyone. And if you want to kind of buy a studio and make it part of your own kind of suite of studios, then okay, fair play, the rules go out the window. But
you don't want the Final Fantasy VII situation, essentially.
No, and you don't even want, and this isn't a great example because the game ended up becoming abjectly average, but you don't want an Avengers situation where PlayStation fans get an extra character and an extra whole bit of story just because it's Spider-Man, and Xbox fans are like, well, I paid the exact same amount of money for your game, and just because I picked a box with a different shape, that like, I don't get like a bit of it. That is a bit bullshit to me. But yeah, I could see how exclusivity is needed to an extent, but not to the extent that it's reached.
Yeah, I think it was really needed to tell the, as the kind of one of the wanky terms he uses, to tell the PlayStation 4's story, quote unquote. You have all these exclusive games over and over again, and it drills into people's heads, okay, Sony first party is big exclusives. It was helped by the fact that at the same time, Microsoft was like, oh God, oh, what are we doing? We've completely lost our minds. But I think to come out now and say that exclusivity matters a bit less, it feels weird to me, especially because of the homogeny of where you can play all games. You would think now the only reason to buy a PS5 would be the things that you can only play there. Pete, is this the kind of thing that's easy to say after the fact when you're not in charge of the money?
No one will ever allow me to be in charge of the money, John. That's been made very clear to me in every aspect of my life, from council tax to petty cash.
Don't pay your council tax. They can't find you. Britain is so broken as a country that there's no way anyone's actually going to look for that.
Yeah, exactly. I just moved house with my student loan. People complaining about, you know, how deep student loan debt goes. I moved house a few times. They didn't find me. I owed 10 grand. I didn't fucking know. I was like, oh, dear. Do I? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm still not paying it. Bye. But I would say that, do you, like back in the day when you had different systems, like first party titles would be better because the techniques used and the developers who had access to the technology, they'd had it for longer, so they could get more out of, they could get more juice out of the orange, they could get more juice out of your out of the system, so it games looked better and played better and they're a bit faster and stuff. And so, like, but now, like you say, what changes from platform to platform? It might be another character here, it might be an extra level there, but I mean, there's no real fundamental changes. Like first party titles used to be, it used to excel because they knew the architecture better than anyone else. But what's the difference?
The architecture certainly. See, I mean, I'm obviously no developer, and a lot of developers.
Don't put yourself down like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I've made a couple of double A's, I'm not going to like pretend I know everything, but it appears on face value that the architecture between the PS5 and the Xbox Series X is kind of closer than we've had in previous generations.
So where's the mod 7? I want a mod 7 flaw that made every game look the same.
There's not even a single mode anymore. No modes.
No mods.
No modes, mate. it's weird. It's like the consoles are so similar now that, yeah, multi-format games should be the norm. Especially, even though people will argue about the DualSense has got extra features, nobody wants them. Like, see that big stupid touchpad in the middle that never actually does anything other than act as the world's biggest pause button. I hate that thing. I don't care about the triggers. I don't care about the speaker on the controller.
It's all anyone talks about at the start, though. Yeah, in the launch game, it
always works in the launch game. Like the waggle was good in Wii Sports and Wii.
But remember when people talked about the controllers on the Nintendo Switch? You could feel
HD rumble.
A marble or something. Yeah, the HD rumble. You could feel every marble dropping through. And he's like, nobody's used it.
Sony's amazing at that, at putting shite in their controllers that nobody wants, and then so that the fans can point and say, well, look, can your controller do this? Does your handheld have a touch panel on the back that your fingers accidentally touch all the time? Does your PS3 controller have arbitrary motion controls thrown in that don't do anything?
Excuse me, arbitrary? How you meant to play Leia without the six axes? How
you meant to started.
Glitch a Warhawk spaceship in a tower?
This all started with the VMU on the Dreamcast, in my opinion. What a beautiful thing indeed.
I think that specifically is a symptom of Sony being a hardware company and all the tendrils of Sony working together. So you can imagine a world where the games team are like making the console, and then somebody for hardware goes, I've been messing about with this thing that makes the triggers so tight you feel like you're going to break them. And they go, oh, that's nice. I suppose it's better than like the controller that can sweat or whatever else they're working on at the minute.
Just imagine everyone, all the developers getting an email saying, by the way, now the controller lights up, so put that in it. And I'm just going, why? nobody looks at the controller.
If you don't, we will.
You don't look at the controller while you're playing.
It was especially egregious on the PS4, because if you're sitting in front of a big black screen, the first thing that's going to reflect is this big red pulse. Like, to the point where they eventually had to release firmware for the controller to let you turn it down to not be reflective.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's strange. Chris, if you didn't do this job, right, you're Johnny Punter. What is the top of the list of things that make you choose between platforms if you're only to buy the one?
I mean, it's just a personal level. I realize a lot of people would go for PlayStation because the exclusives. The Game Pass side of things appeals to me, like having which obviously PlayStation's got a PS Plus, having a subscription, because for me it would be saving money. And I would want, I would imagine if I wasn't doing this job, I wouldn't want to be spending a hell of a lot of money, especially now that games are £70. I would want to have as wide a range of games as possible with spending as little money as possible. So it would be whoever has the best subscription service for me personally.
I kind of agree, actually, now thinking about it, like how expensive being alive is at the minute. Like, the idea of chucking £70 at stuff, like an extra £70 a month at all these games, is just it's just kind of obscene. Pete, are you more a library man? Is it where your friends play? Is it the easiest to do a crime on?
I like to plan a lot of my terrorist atrocities through the PlayStation chat function. So that's always been
flight simulators on Xbox, but anyway,
wasn't some people using, weren't some absolutely nefarious items using PlayStation chat to plan their naughtiness?
As if Sony is, as if Jim Ryan isn't sitting reading all those, being like,
let's see what their game library is like. Have they invested enough in this thing to report? Very much library for me. I think I bought PlayStation for games like Uncharted and stuff, and it was very games first. But yeah, it's very library focused. But if there are fewer first party titles, that obviously diminishes a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I don't expect Sony to change approach. Like, they'll still be the place where you come and see your big Spider-Man. That's what the next one's called, the big Spider-Man.
He's so big.
Huge.
Yes, the problem is you get to say, sorry to interrupt your incredible segue, but
I'll work out another one.
The problem you have with PlayStation when you rely on the big games like that is you get a year like this year where there are no big games on the horizon, and then suddenly everyone's going, okay, now what? Like, we've beat Spider-Man, and now there's just this barren wasteland while we wait for those games, which take longer and longer and longer to make, to then turn up, and it's like, okay, so now what? And this could be the year, probably not, but this could be the year where Xbox actually has more kind of interesting first party games than Sony does by the end of the year, but that obviously remains to be seen.
Every time you say that, it's like removing one thing off the monkey, of Buckaroo.
The monkey's paw just goes like that. it's it's not happening.
Xbox will have tons of exclusive games, but they're actually going to discontinue controllers, so you're going to have to play them all with Kinect. speaking of if games will turn up Mushroom Kingdom Mario.
I feel bad that I ruined the initial one, because that was smooth.
It's okay, I'm a professional.
Come again.
We're getting another Mario film, shock horror, a film that makes a billion quid. They're going to make another one of them. Also, some classic games jumped on the NSO for Mario Day. Initially when Miyamoto, Mr. Miyamoto, as we insist on calling him around these parts, popped up on Twitter. I was like, what are you doing on a Sunday, Shigeru? but it turns out it was Mario Day, March 10th. Dr. Mario, Mario Golf, and Tennis are all on NSO. But first of all, Pete, what's the second Mario film going to be about? Is he just going to do the exact same thing, but it's going to be in prettier graphics, like all Mario games? Controversial. I don't actually believe that. I love Mario. Let me get this on the record. I'm a Mario man.
I'm a Mario man. I mean, they could just kind of decide to sort of go backwards in the same way that Mario went from 2D to 3D. They could do a two-dimensional cell-based animation. They're not going to do that because it's more expensive than the CGI twaddle we got last time. But I mean, Chris, you saw it before anybody, I think, that I know, and you were very much, this is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's not going to pull up any trees. or mushrooms, but this is very much you know, right up my street. Has that kind of continued? Because I presume you've seen it a couple of more times.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that the kid's now into Mario. Like, so she's like, she completed Mario Wonder, which I'm like constantly amazed by. So she always watches it because it's on Now TV, the Mario movie. She's constantly watching it. So I can say that on the 40th playthrough it holds up for me. I'm sure many others wouldn't be the case, but I kind of keep myself sane with the references in the background and Easter eggs. But yeah,
your poor daughter's trying to watch the film, and you're like, pause that for a minute.
I think you'll find there's the Famicom Disk System mascot in one of the shop windows. Sitting up. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, shop. But the second one, I think eagle-eyed viewers who remember the movie will remember that there was a post-credit scene in which a Yoshi egg appeared in a sewer. So you got to believe this is going to have Turtles. Yoshi's up the wazoo.
They're going to introduce the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just like Power Rangers in space when they did that crossover episode. It's going to be great.
Whenever I've seen Yoshi in like a 3D environment, I've never the dynamics and physical characteristics of him. He looks too heavy in certain places. I don't think he works as a 3D character. So it's going to be horrific. It's going to be horrific.
I just want to know what texture they're going to go with. I want it to be very fleshy.
It'll be lizard-like. It'll have scales.
Halfway through the film, he's just going to start shedding.
When like lizards get like the bit of their eyelid comes off, and it's like, and their eyes go milky, disgusting.
Honestly,
lizards.
I would love if we did that. Sometimes I just feel like, see, after like a 12-hour flight, and your skin just feels like you'd quite like to just refresh it all.
Have a shower, John. Just get a shower, mate. I know you're against them, but just
morally,
come on. Now.
They've got them at the airport some places.
I wouldn't do an airport shower. I wouldn't.
They're very pokey. When I was on the way back for LA, seeing Dune, I was in the BA lounge. So was Judy Murray, funnily enough.
What was she doing?
She was looking stern, can you believe it?
Oh, really?
She was looking at her phone, raging, whatever was going on.
Maybe people on Twitter were getting her fucking tennis tips, like I was getting. We'll get to that.
It was probably to do with me standing in front of her pretending to serve over and over again. the showers in there are a bit strange, because I like a shower that's so warm you can feel the skin, like, thinking about
too,
going.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to be quite painful before it gets to the point when I'm happy.
I don't know if that's defined as warm. I think that passes the hot threshold.
My shower is one of these ones where, like, you turn on both of like the bath taps and then press a button and it becomes a shower. So there's no gauge. You have to it's like a puzzle in a game. You have to do a bit of one and a bit of the other.
It's like DJ
and
if you're
even slightly out, it's freezing cold. And if you're too much, you're like phoning an ambulance because your back's fell off. Like, it's.
But then you're kind of stuck with kind of going, this isn't hot enough. This isn't hot enough. And I'm just turning up a little bit. And then you're just like, by the end, it's obscene how hot it is.
Because you get used to it and you're like, more.
You're melting the little ducks. You're melting the little rubber ducks.
It's like, this is too hot. Frog in boiling water, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a myth, apparently. We got a date for A Thousand Year Door and Luigi's Mansion 2 HD. Luigi's Mansion 2 HD, June 27th, 2 days before my birthday. I assume that was intentional. And A Thousand Year Door, May 23rd. Chris, either of these Criscillion joints?
Yeah, I'll play A Thousand Year Door again. It's been a long time. I don't think I've properly played it since the GameCube days. But yeah, I'll definitely give that a go again because I remember loving it at the time. It's got a massive, it's got a really kind of cult hardcore following.
Yeah.
Of people who really picked apart that trailer, that first trailer when it came out, and they're like, look at this, this is different, and this is the same. I'm like, is it? That's all right. So that's going to be an interesting one. But Luigi's Mansion 2, I don't really remember much about it originally, so I'll give it a kind of another blast. But yeah, I'm happy with both of them. Like, more any, you know, I'm like, any Mario game I'll play. But we'll see. But it's just nice to have more games to keep the Switch ticking along until the Switch 2 comes out in 2049.
We'll have more on that later, because I asked the VGC Maniacs what games they'd like, and we've had about 300,000 responses to it. So a very brief one here. Square wants to spin off potentially Queen's Blood from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's a card game in the game. The basic premise is there's three lanes. Each lane has five segments in it, and you each play a card on each turn. The goal is to have the most points. Each of the cards has a specific point. La-dee-da. It's cool. I played a lot of it during the review phase, and it's good fun. They will make a mint when they sell real versions of it. My question is there a random minigame from a big game that you'd like spun off into a full game? While you have a think about that, I'll tell you. FIFA 07 on the PSP, I believe, had a mode where you could turn it portrait and do keepy ups by just pressing the like the D-pad.
So it'd be like a rhythm game or something.
Essentially, so it'd be like left and right for left and right boot and stuff like that, and it got like super, super hard. I was obsessed with this game, like beyond obsessed with this wee mini game, to the point where we were on holiday once and the food had arrived, and I was so engrossed that when the person put the plate down, I like got a fright and dropped my PSP into a wee ramekin of garlic mayo. So my PSP D-pad had a very garlicky hue from then on. Despite my best efforts to clean it, my dad was like, I'll just take it apart and clean it. And I was like, no, because you'll break it to bits. And he would have smashed that thing into smithereens if he'd taken it apart. But that's the one for me. Chris, you got anything?
When I was thinking about minigames, the first thing that literally that quickly sprung to mind was, remember when Mario 64 DS had a bunch of extra minigames? And some of them were like casino games where Luigi would like deal the cards out. And it's the only time I ever actually committed to a casino type game. so I wouldn't mind seeing like Mario Casino. It would never be released in Europe because gambling things always get cut out of games in Europe. But like I would certainly import it. Like go walk around like a Mushroom Kingdom casino, like peaches on the blackjack table, and obviously Wario's at the craps.
While Luigi's out the back, like with a gun in his mouth, because he's lost all his money.
But the great thing about a Mario Casino is you would just go around the back, and there would be like loads of question blocks. So you just get more coins back, so it'd be fine. He could take that gun out of his mouth.
Pete, I'm scared to ask what mini game you're going to pull out here.
How dare you? What do you mean? Just because I'm going to be rude? Because I'm going to be old school.
It's because you're going to say something that he doesn't recognize, and I do.
Right.
It's going to feel young.
Maybe.
No, it's going to be one of these things that's like, oh, did you know in the Japanese version of Dead or Alive 1, there was a mini game where you could just like touch them that they couldn't bring into the modern versions?
That is outrageous. I mean,
it was Dead or Alive 2.
Presumably the mini game there is masturbation in general. I mean, like, that's the thing you're doing as a youngster.
Certainly a mini game for me.
Fallout 4.
Make your game.
It's
WarioWare.
It's 3 seconds long. I would go for Fallout 4's Donkey Kong thing you could play on the BitBoy. Donkey Kong game. Remember that one? That was quite good. Or Pinfinger in Red Dead Redemption, where you'd stab your fingers, which done in real life, which I one of my favourite games.
Oh, we used to do it in school with pencils because of Red Dead Redemption. I'm surprised I've not got like severe lead poisoning. But yeah, that's a good one. There was a few little Pit Boy games.
There's a Space Invaders one. I think there's I hate Space Invaders. I hate.
I agree. I think Space Invaders is shite.
I like Space Invaders. I've got a soft spot for Space Invaders. I like Space Invaders more than I like stuff like Asteroids and Missile Command. I've got those really haven't held up well. I don't think I've got time for Space Invaders.
I disagree with the Pac-Man take though, specifically because what's the name of that Pac-Man game, Chris? Pac-Man. The amazing one on the 360. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, next story.
Oh, you're thinking of the
Championship
DX Edition,
like,
and then they did Championship Edition DX with the proper, like, psychedelic.
Yeah, that's exceptional. That's like the Tetris effect of Pac-Man games.
I just always sort of think with those, like, obviously they are seminal classics and they launched so much and they began the journey for everybody in games, but I do... When I see an arcade, and I live quite close to arcades near Southend, and I go in, and there are some like mad arcade cabinets of games that never existed, like Halo, weird Halo shooters that they've made, sort of a VR sort of Rabbids experience. You've got odd Tomb Raider shooters that run on what looks like a phone processor, really janky stuff. And then you've got your usual Flappy Bird kind of one button pressy stuff writ large. And then you'll have a big Pac-Man. And it just makes my heart sink a little bit. That there's just, it's just, I just sort of think, am I just not into games because I don't like Pac-Man or Space Invaders? I just feel like I'm letting the side down a bit.
There's a bit of a hidden gem here for people who like Pac-Man Championship Edition. There's something that not a lot of people know about. A few years back, Bandai Namco released a compilation on the Switch called Namcot Collection, because when Namco made NES games, for some reason they called themselves Namcot, so the NES games all said copyright Namcot instead of Namco.
Right.
So they brought out this compilation of all the Namco NES games, and it's mostly the NES ports of Pac-Man and all their stuff. But the bonus game in it is an NES demake of Pac-Man Championship Edition, and it's fantastic. Not a lot of people like knew about it, because most people just see an NES compilation and just ignore it, but it has like an NES version of Pac-Man Championship Edition, and it's excellent.
That's so very exciting. I would get into that. Pac-Man. We are a pro Pac-Man podcast. I'd like to put that out there with the PPP. Next story. Starbreeze has binned its CEO. Does that have anything to do with the fact that there are currently 85 times more players playing Payday 2, which came out in 2013, than Payday 3 that came out in 2023? Chris, I'm no financial expert, but it seems like that would make you for the gallows.
Well, I ran the numbers earlier.
Thanks.
that was the conclusion I came to. He's out in his arse. That was what the calculator said. doesn't lie. It's like the game's an unmitigated failure. When people are playing your decade-old game more than the one that just came out, and they're clearly...
Didn't it come out a bit broken? Wasn't there a few weeks where it was just you couldn't get on the servers or something?
It was pretty grim. And like, it just hasn't recovered. And when you look at SteamDB, like the database, the graph of concurrent users, and it's just like, it's basically a roller coaster dip. It doesn't climb again. And it died at launch after like a few days and never recovered. And when you think of how much money it would have cost to develop that game, and now it's essentially flatlining, and you just kind of got to wonder how they could possibly salvage that, or do they cut their losses and move on to the next one? Either way, whatever they're doing next, something had to give, and they've punted the CEO in some way to kind of hope that makes up for it.
Yeah, it's nice, Pete, that it's the CEO getting sacked and not like 200 programmers,
I mean, before the show, I looked at the running order and said, Chris, I think this is the first show we've had this year where we haven't had sort of mass layoffs. And Chris did make the point that Starbreeze is removing its CEO. But I mean, I think we're allowed to be kind of okay with that situation. But you sort of think with this chap, Tobias, I think he presumably was under pressure to release a game before it was ready because it came out busted up. So like, although he is having to fall on the sword here, presumably the shareholders must be held to account somehow, because they're the ones that presumably the market forced them to release early. And if they hadn't released in a broken state with servers that didn't work, I think it was a server issue, they might have been okay. But
I have some inside information here. Right, and I'd like the Twitter people to clip this up. I have some inside information about what went wrong with Payday 3. I went to Starbreeze in Sweden. I went to the studio, and it has, without question, the nicest bathroom I've ever seen at a game development studio. It's huge. It's fully stocked for products of people of all genders. It's like warm, so you're not... It's not like boiling, but it's like cozy. And it was genuinely... It was the highlight of my trip, and that might say more about the game than it does anything else, but...
Whereabouts in the world are they? Are they in Sweden?
Stockholm.
Stockholm, right.
It's a controversial, it's a controversial thing to say that the reason Payday 3 failed is because the studio has a cross-gender
nice
bathroom.
Nice toilet.
You wouldn't get me saying that. Yeah, that's brave.
No. It's a real shame, to be honest.
That's worrying that I'm actually now working with someone who thinks that... Starbreeze has gone woke. That's concerning.
Go woke, go broke.
Go woke and go broke, literally.
Let me just start posing for my apology thumbnail, right?
That, you just say, look, listen, the Jordan of 5 minutes ago isn't the Jordan of today. That isn't me now.
Getting dragged by the feet. A massive hook comes through this podcast. It's Andy being like, oi, mate, you've got to be woke on VGC. if only they knew. Final story before the break. Summer Game Fest returns in June. We knew this was happening, but now we have a date. Big Jefferson John Keeley. Don't know if that's his middle name or what
his first name
short for. Yeah, we've got Keeley. That's one of them. The show returns in person on June 7th. Thousands of in-person fans will descend upon the YouTube Theater in Los Angeles to get a glimpse at what's next in video games. Myself and West Ham Ultra Andy Robinson will be there, presuming he doesn't get arrested on a European trip in the next couple of weeks, depending on who West Ham get. Also, Summer Game Fest Play Days, which is the media event, will return on June 8th to 10th, produced by I Am 8. But anyway, lots to look forward to there. But first, Chris.
Hello.
It was at a Jefferson John Keeley show that you were in floods of tears and other fluid when Sega came out and said, we are remaking 50 games. What could Jefferson John Keeley have at this show to make you feel quite as hard?
I think if GJK was going to announce something to get the same fluids flowing. The other one was blood, in case people are worried. Like, I had a nosebleed.
Yes.
Piss coming out my nose, oddly. It would be, I mean, nothing will beat the Sega one, other than maybe another Sega one saying,
you looked like a wee boy. You were actually while it was happening. I was like, oh, this is great.
I absolutely was. I wouldn't mind Sega coming back saying, by the way, here's a better look at what they look like. yeah. Just in case you're getting worried about that Golden Axe one, which looked a bit ropey. I don't know. You always like, I mean, as much as people say, we need new IP, we need this, we need that, I'm still a sucker for an old forgotten game coming back. So something like that. If Nintendo suddenly arrived and said, here's Punch-Out again, I would like peel my own face off with excitement. Stuff like that, a crossover. I'm always a sucker for a crossover, which is why I'm willing to give Multiverses another chance when it comes back. They announced this week that it'll be back in May.
I didn't make the running order, but still got in the show somehow.
How dare you ignore Multiverses like everyone else did? So something like that, something annoyingly predictable for me, something old coming back to get me pumped, as the kids say.
Pete, you're organising the show floor experience for Summer Game Fest, okay? Mm. You've got thousands of fans in attendance. What activations are you setting up? Not playing the games, what is the crap that's going to distract them while they're in this big empty room, a la the Glasgow Wonka experience?
I would say that one of the highlights of my sort of festival calendar was always working as an Absolute Radio DJ at the Isle of Wight Festival. That's where I met my partner. A good time is had every year for 10 long years. And I remember coming out into the main kind of arena, and these two women were on, you know, those big tall stilts you get sometimes, and women are dressed as it's usually women dressed as I don't know, spooky angels or something, and they're dressed in like silver claws or something. It was the two sisters from Bewitched for some reason. And I don't know why they were there. So basically 90s pop stars on stilts, please, if that's all right.
Who could you get? Who are we thinking you're going to get?
911.
Yeah. Surely it's got to be... Do you remember Toy Box?
Toy Box? I remember Toy Box.
They sang Tarzan and Jane. They sang... they were kind of like an Audi Aqua. And that's,
right. Like the cartoons.
Yes, exactly. That cartoons, brand of kind of... It was number one in Denmark for 9 weeks or something like that. You go there and people are absolutely crazy about Toy Box.
I'm sure I told my Big Brother's Tea in the Park story, didn't I?
Oh yeah, yeah. Big Brother's taken over the show has made an appearance on this broadcast.
I'll not bore people with it again.
I feel like there was a good run there where like the Venga Boys made so much money off student unions and stuff like that back in the day.
You don't want to start me on 90s pop, because you'll need a whole new podcast just for it. My freshers week the acts were Chesney Hawks, Wigfield, which I was particularly excited. I was a big, okay. I was a big Wigfield mark back in the day, and Dario G, which was odd because Dario G literally consisted of them just playing records.
Dario G is named after the football manager Dario Gradi.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I believe. I think that's where they got their name.
But, they literally just played the record. They had a woman there who sang one of the songs, and then just danced for the rest of them because they realised it just.
I went to one of the stinking '90s Butlins weekenders where you had like your 911s and the only ones that Bewitched as well had two new members.
Oh, that's dangerous.
They were showing off their abs. And I was like, you can't get away with this. This is, they're like 20 years younger than you. That's not allowed. That is not allowed. It's not, it's not Rodney's, is it? No, Trigger's Broom. And the only decent act was actually Cleopatra coming at you. So
I like Cleopatra.
Coming at you.
They made a comeback, didn't they? A while back.
I believe so.
Coming
yeah.
at you
I think,
again.
I think one of them.
Are re-coming. I always got irrationally annoyed at Bewitched's hit song, C'est la vie. Because in the intro, one of them goes, "People say I look like my da," and I'm like, "Well, I've never seen your da, so that's lost on me." should have came with a photo of her da, so that you could compare them
to compare and contrast. I thought it was "I fight like me da."
Oh, really? I thought it said "I look like me da."
I think it was "I fight like me da."
Oh, I've misheard it. That makes a lot more sense because, like, her dad probably took that as an insult.
Well, no, because we've not seen her fight. We've not seen him fight.
I'd like to say that I think Chris is right on this.
Is Chris right on that one? Okay.
I'm searching.
"I fight like me da." I don't think he'll be down as lyrics. It's an incidental thing. Oh. What have we got, John?
I'll do it in the style of Jerry Adams, right?
It's going to be something totally different. It's some people say I love like my da.
Some people say I look like me da.
Oh, there we go.
It's Chris.
Really?
There we go.
Some people say I look like me da.
Oh, no, wait. Really? I think she later speaks about fighting like me. I mean, she's Irish, of course.
She's going to come to fighting eventually.
She's obsessed with being like her dad.
Sounds like her dad should have been the success story rather than
issues. So many issues in this group.
It's Catholics, isn't it? Anyway,
the dad. That's the dad. That's the father.
Up the dad.
The dad, the son, and the Holy Spirit.
When we come back, me and Pete will no longer be speaking, and Chris will talk for 3.5 hours. About...
I went to fucking Catholic school. I can say what I want.
Same, to be fair.
About tennis discourse. We'll see you in a minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we are back. The following podcast was paid for by Andy Robinson. Chris, we cede the floor to you.
Gentlemen, I've been in this business we call show for many years.
He's cut a Ric Flair. No.
I'm going to finish my story by starting it first. In May, the 2nd of May will be my 18th year doing this. I know the exact day I started. In these 18 years, I have had a lot of criticism leveled at me, but as is normal with this job, people say, "No, you're this and you're that. You don't know how to play games." I've never been so surprised and frustrated and angry at the pish I have received in the past few days after sharing a minute and 18 seconds of footage from the upcoming video game Top Spin 2K25, set for release next month, I believe. I made a trip to Paris, which in itself was frustrating because I was up at 3:30 in the morning to fly to Paris to play the game, which as a parent tennis know nothing, like I enjoyed it nevertheless.
A layman.
Exactly. enjoyed it nevertheless. Went to took us to some cafe called Break, which is a clever play on words because obviously you've got breaks in tennis. I understand. Having and there was like a tennis court there as well, and they said you can go and play tennis if you want. I'm like, look at me, mate. You're all right. put the controller in my hand, that'll be enough. The game was fine. I took captured video. I said, oh, this will be good. The kids will love seeing some Top Spin in action a good month before it comes out. They'll love this. They'll be so appreciative. Not a bad word will be said. Got the late flight back home. Definitely didn't steal one of the 2K, the Top Spin 2K25 cushions that were littered around the venue. I absolutely am not sitting on it right now. Got back, put the footage up, and the deluge of tennis knobs that then seemingly attracted, apparently because my character was standing 3 feet forward than where they were supposed to be standing. apparently in tennis you're supposed to stand behind the baseline at all times, because that's how they do it. That's how they do it in real life, and that's
not the rules. Like, you can stand whatever
you
want.
The hell you want. Like, and like I was playing on hard difficulty, right? I don't know about you, but whenever I'm capturing footage, I've always got this lingering thing in my head from that Cuphead shit, where the guy who clearly was at an event capturing footage and had someone like assistant.
Music was blaring. There was a PR person saying,
he clearly missed a bit in the tutorial which says you can do the jump dash, and therefore spent like 5 minutes trying to make a jump, which he couldn't do because he missed the tutorial about the dash, which is totally understandable. And it just turned into the internet going wild, going, hey, games journalists can't play games, blah, 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 blah. I was like, shush. You always have that in the back of your mind while you're playing games, capturing
footage. You're doing a bad job, and everyone can see.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm playing hard difficulty AI here, and it goes, by what I was told, it goes to another 3 or 4 levels, but the build we had was easy, normal, or hard. So I said, okay, we'll go hard. Mm. And I won, like, the match. The full match is on the VGC YouTube. Go and check it out. It's great. It's played exceptionally to a high standard. But then apparently in tennis, in real tennis, you're supposed to stand behind the baseline because that gives you more a better angle on your shots, and you can angle your shots better, whatever. What people weren't realizing is that Top Spins, this is just turning into a rant, I apologize if people listen to
get both of it.
Top Spins got this kind of new stroke mechanic, wink wink. Don't we all, as we get older. It's different from the previous games in that as the ball comes to you, you hold a button down of your shot of choice, and then a gauge kind of fills up, kind of like an NBA 2K game. And then when it gets to the green bit, you let go. And every time you go to hit the ball, that moves at a different speed because it depends on your positioning and how hard the shot is and stuff. So when you've only been playing the game for 45 minutes, you've not mastered the timing yet. Of course you haven't, because it's going to take hours and hours and hours. So regardless of it, even if I stood at the back, I wasn't going to hit perfect shots all the time. So it wasn't going to like go to the extreme corners of the court. So I moved forward to try and get volleys and play lobs over and try and make it interesting footage, because nobody wants to watch somebody just standing at the back the entire time. That's dull. But instead, all I got was that the tennis snobs came out, and like you can see it on my Twitter. It's just full of people saying you should have stood at why are you standing? Why are you standing in no man's land, which apparently is a thing. I think it should be called no woman's land, lads, because it was a female versus female match. So yeah, check your privilege. But I was just really annoyed because, like, I thought the footage was pretty good. Instead, all I got was all these dicks going, oh, you can't play this game at all. This is terrible. You know, the game looks okay, but I'd like to see someone playing it right so that I can actually judge it. And then some people saying this game's terrible. You can win a game by playing it badly. Oh, just
this spilled over into my life where I was texted by someone who remained nameless saying, "Is there tennis discourse?" And I was like, "What are you talking about? Like, what is what?" And then they sent me the links to these tweets.
It's because I went on a rant. I think if I hadn't went on a rant, it would have come and gone without. But you know, like, you know what it's like. You ignore 99% of the shit you get on Twitter, but every now and every so often you choose violence. I just happened to be holding a tennis racket on the day that I chose violence and not holding a top spin cushion. I decided to hold a racket instead. I just said no, and I went on this maybe over the top rant where I'm basically saying, "Hey, tennis fans, you should maybe treat newcomers with a bit more respect." Because and I understand, but like, there's going to be loads of YouTubers who are new to tennis. This is the first top spin game in like 13 years. There's going to be a lot of kind of young generation, like kids who haven't had a good tennis game for any other than like Mario tennis games, coming to this for the first time. And sure, maybe they don't watch tennis their entire life and they don't know you're supposed to stand behind the baseline. And they're going to get put off. They could get really into the game and like help like make it popular, or they could put up one video, get a load of abuse and go, "Well, okay, I'll move on to something else." So they need to kind of cool it, or it's going to sink without a trace. But yeah, the game's good from what I've played of it, and there'll be a review next month with loads of footage of me standing right at the net just to annoy everyone and like playing.
Do what I do, like when I make video reviews in the past for FIFA games, I would just make all the footage Celtic battering Rangers over.
Oh, it's just
annoying. And like the day itself was stressful. Like my taxi picked me up like 3 hours after everyone else. So like I was basically sitting in a wee front reception bit. When we turned up, all the kind of French press were there and they had a session and they left, and we went in and had our session, which was like 2 or 3 hours. And then we all left and everyone else got taxis because they were leaving earlier. My flight wasn't till late. So I had to stay there for 3 hours, during which time all the influencers came in. So they had their kind of session. And there was one guy who was like, I couldn't put a pinpoint where he was from. You know, when like European people speak English, they put on an American accent and it's just slightly off American. Yeah. One of those, because I'm here to play Topspin 2K25 and I've set myself a challenge. and this guy came out with some poor guy, a cameraman guy who reminded me of the guy in Ted Lasso who starts as the ball boy and then becomes more... I can't remember his name. This guy was like on the camera, kind of looking small and kind of nervous. This louder than life guy was like standing and bringing over the security guard for the event, saying, "Help me here, throw the tennis ball at me when I say I'm in Paris, you throw the ball." And the guy's just like, "Fuck, are you, mate?" And it was so awkward because he went,
"I will do it for one cigarette."
It was amazing because I'm not exaggerating here. It took 15 to 20 takes to do this one bit because the guy had no idea what he was saying. And every time when this guy said Paris, the guy didn't throw the ball at him. He was supposed to say, "I'm here at Paris to play, to set myself a challenge and then catch a tennis ball and show it to the camera and say, I'm here to play topspin." But every time it was like, "I'm here in Paris and I've set myself a challenge. When I say Paris, I need you to throw the ball." Okay. "I'm here in Paris and I've set myself a... When I say Paris, I need you to..." And then like 10 times, and I'm sitting off camera, like peeling my own face off going, "Mate, I'm so tired.
Give me the ball.
Spending like time, yeah, like, angry at this guy saying, "Get out of this room so I can steal this cushion." Like, I needed the empty room to put this cushion in my bag. But we got
I have
there.
A cushion-based heist to perform. I mean, they talk about the Rory Delap throw being something that changed football, possibly not for the better. This could be the new technique for, you know, this could revitalise a nailing Andy Murray now.
I won the game. So like tennis pros take note. It turns out if you take a few steps closer, you actually can do better.
Yeah. Is the game any good?
It's fine.
Yeah. Right, next time.
The game looks good. It's got all the venues, it's got all the people in it. I don't know, they've only had like 10 characters in it so far, and like Raducanu's in it, McEnroe,
Federer,
Federer and Williams are the cover stars, McEnroe does voices of Chitorio really badly.
Of course.
It's like it's as if he's like never seen a microphone before. It's awful, but like it's fine.
Careful, I don't turn Steffi, into the Incredible Hulk.
Steffi Graf's in it, and Andre Agassi, the power couple.
Wow.
And then some kind of modern ones. I don't really know modern tennis players, so like
no, there's no stars in tennis anymore.
Which I think is why Federer and Williams are on the cover. To be fair, yeah. But yeah,
what's that mental anti-vaxxer guy allegedly?
I don't know.
Djokovic.
Djokovic.
I don't know. I don't know who's in it because apparently I was talking to the art director guy and he said that unlike a sports game where you just like hire the league and get everyone, with tennis it's like a athlete by athlete license, which is why you never get a tennis game that's got everyone in it.
It cost them £1 billion.
They license like
it's Cesaro or DLC.
You license like four or five big ones and then like fill it with shiters. To make up the numbers, like guys who are like ranked 128th, and
I like that.
So far, from what I've seen, it's good. It looks nice. It's solid enough gameplay. I'll definitely play more of it. It's just I won't be sharing what I play of it online because I'll just get so angry.
Fair enough. I previewed Rise of the Ronin. If you want to check that out, there's a YouTube video on our channel where I chatted all about it and answered your questions. Very briefly, Chris, you played any more 2K24? Because I've been playing my faction, and let me tell you something, brother. I got that Undertaker.
I got it as
that
well.
Broken Undertaker that after three punches, the other guy staggered. It's made the game glorious.
There's an Austin as well, which does the same thing. So if you get like the Undertaker and Austin in your team, just forget about it, kids. Ring the bell. It's brilliant. I'm playing my faction daily. I'm worried about how it's going to go in like a couple of months' time because I think once Proving Grounds is done, once I've finished the Proving Grounds mode, I don't know if there's going to be a lot daily to have me coming back.
You can buy packs, you know, like that's what you can come back and do. You can buy.
I'd sooner die. Then buy a single DLC pack.
Yeah. Speaking of DLC, Pete, how au fait are you with the current WWE product? We have the WrestleMe podcast on Stack, which is great fun, but are you watching weekly?
I'm not watching weekly drops. I mean, every year we go to WrestleMania, so I'm trying to sort of be on nodding toes of what's going on at the moment. And it all seems... I'm familiar with the WrestleMania level of the WWE product.
Are you across Pat McAfee? You know Pat McAfee, yes.
I'm familiar with him. I'm sick of seeing him. I liked him the first couple of times I saw him, but other amateur non-wrestling wrestlers have done better jobs. You know, certain influencers who started smashing through tables have been incredible. So it's really put his skill level into stark contrast, I think.
So it came out that he will be a DLC character for WWE 2K24. However, his stipulation for becoming a DLC character in 2K24 was that all of the co-hosts of his podcast, which is four people that no one on earth has heard of, are also DLC characters.
Oh my God. Who gives a flying fuck?
Yeah.
Put Bad Bunny's band in or something. I mean, that's an atrocious decision.
I'm going to go
I'm a career sidekick, and I've ridden the coattails of people like Alexander Berry and, you know, Lauren Laverne for a very long time.
I'm going to go to the excellent SmackDown Hotel, a website that I've been using for as long as I've been using the internet as a repository of all things WWE games. Here are the people that are included in the Pat McAfee show pack. This AJ Hawk, who is...
To be fair, it sounds like a wrestler.
Some kind of American footballer, it seems.
Right.
Boston Connor, who is another...
Again, sounds like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm maybe coming around on this.
Steve. Just a guy called Steve.
Ty Schmidt, who is another Pat McAfee man.
An engineer, a man who runs XLR cables to the studio.
I think there's another one, but I can't quite find it at the moment. But I think if I was 2K, I would just go no circumstances are we scanning these names.
The thing is, even 2K knew, because when they released the DLC in the first place, the announcer pack, they just said announcers TBC. Like all the other packs, they said, these are the five wrestlers in this pack, here's the five in this pack. And then the Pat McAfee one just said, is that the same as the Machine Gun? Not Machine Gun Kelly. Who's the? Is it Machine Gun?
Post Malone.
Post Malone. Is that the same pack?
Oh yeah, he's in it.
No, the Pat McAfee pack is just Pat McAfee.
So that one just said Pat McAfee and the announcers to be announced. And like at that point, I was like, so does that mean like is Michael Cole and like Corey Graves,
like Jerry Lawler, and stuff I'd be
up for. Well, that I was going to say Byron, but no. But even then, it's like people we've heard of, and like with the greatest respect to Pat McAfee, I would not wipe my arse with any of these guys. Like
Boston Connor, mate. Come on,
big BC.
Do you not remember when at WrestleMania 20 it was Triple H versus Shawn Michaels versus Boston Connor?
I think he actually originated the Boston Crab. To be fair,
yeah, exactly.
Good on McAfee then. Good on McAfee for having a go. But I mean, it's very, very thin gruel for everyone else, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like you could. I mean, the DLC offering in this year's game is sensational. Like, it is genuinely the best they've ever done. Like, the first pack, you get CM Punk, the Dudleys, Sandman, and Terry Funk. And then you're like, okay, the second one. It's Post Malone, Sensational Sherry, which is great. I hope they add the version of Shawn Michaels' theme with her singing. That would be cool. Mosh and Thrasher, fine. Honky Tonk Man, fine.
They've just been re-signed by WWE, to be fair, haven't they?
Then the Pat McAfee pack. It's like... And then you immediately follow that up and you've got like Jade Cargill and Kairi Sane and all these people and Dragon Lee. So it's so strange.
Oh dear.
We're getting the Great Muta. That's all that matters to me personally. Not till the 13th of November, but we're still getting the Great Muta.
It's also the fact that all these duffers are then going to get added to my faction because you'll get them all. Anytime a DLC pack comes out, if you've got the season pass, you get them all in my faction mode. I don't want these jobbers like filling up my ranks. I'd sooner have an empty space.
Maybe you'll grow to love them, Chris. I mean, to be fair, my only kind of bouncing off this game has been looking at Chris's hard-won facial comparisons from the last time this game came out. And I was like, yep, that's all I need to know. I've seen the roster. I've seen what they look like now. Good, bye.
Brother, that feature did incredibly well on TikTok. I'll let you know. People love to see it.
I'm glad somebody bloody saw it.
Blame Google. Right, before we get out of here, I asked the VGC Maniacs for... What port from any Nintendo system would you love to see during the Nintendo Switch's final year? I will read the title. I want you each to just react with 1 to 5 on the VGC scale. And this is in terms of how interested you would be in playing it. Do we understand the rules? Are we okay? Oh, are we across this?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Let's do it. First of all, Gareth Williams says Electroplankton.
3.
Three? I thought you'd be more into it.
Same here. I like Electroplankton as a tool, but I think it's got much longevity.
Okay. I can understand that. Cedric, the GameCube classic Star Fox Adventures.
4.
What are you rating this out of? Sorry, I've completely.
I'm assuming it's 1 to 5 out of most.
1 to 5
at least. Out of, okay. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Fox Adventures, a third person blancmange of a release. 4?
Yeah, I'm going 4.
4.
Okay. Let's scroll down further to something like Kid Icarus Uprising.
Oh. I sometimes you kind of want to be excited for other people as well, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm giving that
that's
a 4.
That's a 4 for me. That's one I put in my a list up on VGC of Nintendo games that deserve to be put on Switch, and that is one of them. I think it was hamstrung by 3DS odd controls, and it could do with twin sticks.
One for me, one for the Jordan Midlers of this chat. Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, a game that company refuses to even acknowledge anymore because they didn't make
the
it.
Black Sheep. Okay.
So the thing that happened with XD Gale of Darkness and what the hell's the other one called, Chris? What's the other Pokemon GameCube game called?
Coliseum.
No. Oh. God, there's so much Pokemon.
the crappy one that
like no, the Pokemon first, channel. The one that wasn't XD Gale of Darkness. Oh no, it was. I'm thinking it's Colosseum.
There
I was
you
thinking
go.
Stadium.
There's your
stadium.
Dinner.
Stadiums, the N64 games. So Colosseum and Stadium, Colosseum and XD Gale of Darkness were made by like a random Japanese company that didn't know anything about Pokemon. So that's why they're so different. Like they're so strange, those games, but people pure love them. But now when someone asked Junichi Masuda, like, are you ever going to do anything with those? And he just laughed at them. So it really does. And those games are never getting re-released without the Pokemon company saying so. So. There's a reason that a GameCube copy of XD Gale of Darkness is worth £300 now.
There's a reason why XD is now a laughing emoji these days.
Yeah.
It's a real
shame. those games were in banging. The obvious one, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker.
Yeah, that's a five. It's got
you've said Toilet Princess. I don't remember Toilet Princess.
What a game.
Toilet Princess is a video I've got. I'll send it to you later, Pete. Good stuff.
This is conveniently, it's only 4 seconds long. it is weird. I've mentioned that in the article. Like, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker are the only two console Zelda games that you can't play on Switch just now.
Yeah.
They kind of need to bring them over just to complete the set so you can go from the NES one all the way up to Tears of the Kingdom just on your Switch. Until Wind Waker and Twilight Princess come out, that can't be done. And they were on Wii U, so it's not like you're going back to like the GameCube days and having to upscale, having to remaster them. They're already done.
Beyond an extinction level event, there's no way it doesn't happen. Like,
no,
I would be shocked to my core if it didn't happen. This is a real vault fast from Twilight Princess, but I saw a thing on TikTok about this guy was playing like a piano show and his audience were mostly like guys in their mid-20s to mid-30s, and he played the piano intro from the piano intro from seminal internet classic Two Girls One Cup, and he was just like, he played the first few notes,
nice vibe,
and all the guys in the crowd were like, what is this again? And then there was just a wave of dawning realization when they remembered when they became men, when they remembered the moment that the internet was forever solidified as the greatest invention in human history for them.
I
got there from Toilet
never,
Princess,
never,
by the
never
way.
Never seen it? No, because you, I'm one of the lucky ones who heard everyone talking about it. You Google what it is, get the description of what it is, and go, all right, I'm okay, thanks. And then you just watch YouTube videos of people reacting to it. That's like all you need.
And at our age, with the greatest respect, John, like, I mean, this was all the internet was back then. It was just, you know, meetspin.com, a Willy waving around and Lemon Party. Yeah. And all of the classics from like the turn of the millennium. Like, and that was very much all the internet was. Yeah. And so, like, I've seen every flavour of people's heads getting blown off.
I've just seen everything.
I've seen live leak, Ogrish, all the old school ones.
The pinnacle of the internet was a car driving by and a zombie jumping up in front of it. Like after that, the internet has been superfluous.
That clip's had a renaissance of people doing it to their kids on TikTok, like standing them in front of their 70-inch TVs and getting absolutely traumatised for life.
It's just so cool.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good.
Yeah, I do think that Two Girls One Cup.
That was the voice of a guy who doesn't have a kid and is like, I'll try it.
I'm going to do it with the dogs. In the post, I mean, since Musk took over Twitter, I have seen more beheadings and people getting their bones shot to bits than I have in like the past 10 years of the internet. So, we're really back to the glory days.
I hope it's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, he's lost all his money and his kids hate him, so it's clearly worth it.
So we got to look at that, yeah.
Yeah, thank you for listening to this video game podcast. This video game adjacent podcast.
What a grim way to end.
Let's end it on this.
Folks, you've only got one life. use that life to spread love. And don't,
we're just mates at the end of the day.
Don't be 50 or 60 and realize you've only got one life, and you look back and say, see, for a good 10 years, I wasted my life on the internet posting pictures of people getting their heads cut off and criticizing people's tennis placement when I should have been spreading love and sharing my passion for the things I like.
Shut him down, Jordan.
Enjoy your one life.
I'm warning you with peace and love. It's the end of the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan Midler, at Scully1888, at Pete Donaldson. Grant Kirkhope does the theme for this podcast, and I'm sure he doesn't regret it. Thank you very much, Grant. We will see you next week with another episode of VGC, the video game podcast. Check us out on YouTube and TikTok. Until then, say goodbye, Pete.
Ta-ta.
Say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.
And we'll see you next week.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.